Hello again. Today I'm going to be sharing something that's I believe is very important for all of us to hear. I'm going to be talking about Jesus and how he calls you friend. Do you know that Jesus calls you friend, first of all? I'm not sure if you remember the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But it's a beautiful hymn that I love singing and listening to the words, because the words to that hymn are true. In John 15:15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And that's John 15:15. And what Jesus is saying in that, he said, "You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do." The song goes on to say, "All our sins and griefs to bear." Now let's talk about Jesus as God revealed him to Isaiah the prophet. Jesus is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The scripture goes on to say, "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." That's Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4. In other words, there was nothing attractive about Jesus. Nothing to cause anyone to take a second look. He was looked down on and rejected. He was a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. He was looked down on as if he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to Jesus, that ripped and tore him open and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. It is through his stripes we are healed. God took all our sins, everything we've done wrong, and he put it on Jesus. That's Isaiah 53, verse 2 through 6. So that's why it's a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. What does that mean? Jesus is able to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations. Because he has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. In other words, Jesus is not out of touch with reality. He's been through weaknesses, temptations, and testings just like you and I. He experienced it all, but he never sinned. So let us approach the throne of grace. That is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in time of need and appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. And then the rest of the hymn says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." The definition of forfeit is to lose or to be deprived of a right or privilege as a penalty for wrongdoing. Forfeit also means to give over, to sacrifice, to give up, or to relinquish. One privilege that we do have as Christians is having the peace of God in our hearts and minds. What a privilege. The scripture says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." That's Isaiah 26 verse 3. But yet, how many times do we find ourselves worrying about our problems because we're more focused on the issues of life, trying to figure out how to resolve whatever it is we're focused on, instead of praying about it and leaving it in the hands of the Lord? Yet, how often do we forfeit that privilege of basking in God's perfect peace because we fail to take our cares to God in prayer? Yes, it is true that some Christians make the choice to worry, which opens the door to fear, which leads to anxiety, which in the eyes of God is sin. In Philippians 4:6, we are commanded, "Do not be anxious, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." In this scripture, we learn that we should bring all of our cares, our needs, and concerns to God in prayer rather than worrying about them. Jesus encourages us to avoid worrying about our physical needs like clothing and food. And then you have those who are worried about their physical health. They may have gotten a negative report from their doctor. Now they're concerned. Then you have those who are worried about their finances. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And then there are some who are losing their peace and can't sleep at night because they have allowed fear to come in, because they're always worried and analyzing their thoughts. Cast down those negative thoughts and give your concerns and worries to Jesus. Pray and leave it in God's hands. There's nothing you can do about it anyway, so let Jesus take care of it, and you go to sleep. Many are losing sleep over concerns about their marriage or their relationships with others. And then there are those with concerns about trying to find work to support their families. And the list just goes on and on and on. But Jesus assures us that our Heavenly Father will take care of all of our needs according to Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore, we have no need to worry about anything. Since worrying should not be a part of a believer's life, how does one overcome worry? In 1 Peter 5:7, you are instructed to cast all your cares, your worries, and anxieties on Jesus because he cares for you. God does not want you to carry around the weight of problems and burdens. It's too much for you to bear. Only Jesus can bear these kinds of burdens. In this verse, God is telling us to give him all of our worries and concerns. Why does God want to take on our problems? The Bible says it is because he cares for us. God is concerned about everything that happens to us. No worry is too big or too small for his attention. When we give God our problems, he promises in exchange to give us the peace which transcends all understanding. Philippians 4:7. Of course, for those who do not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, worry and anxiety will be a part of life for them. And we understand that. Once upon a time, we were not Christians and we did the same thing. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who still worry and can't sleep at night. Matthew 11:28-30 talks about, "But to those who have given their lives to Jesus, he promised, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In simpler terms, all Jesus is saying is to come to him in prayer. All of you who are tired, beat down, worn out, you feel like that hamster on the hamster wheel, running around in circles, going nowhere. You're like people who have worked for a long time. You're like people who have carried heavy things. Come to me, Jesus is saying. And if you do that, you will find a place to rest. Jesus is saying, do what I teach you to do. Listen to my message and learn from me what is true. Jesus is also saying to you that he is very kind and he loves you very much. He will help you. Then you will have peace in your heart and mind. He will not tell you to do things that are too difficult. He will not tell you to carry anything that is too heavy for you. Matthew 11:28-30. So you see, my friends, that's why it's so important that we put our total trust in Jesus. He calls us friends when we obey the things he tells us to do, such as praying, reading his word, and refusing to worry and stress out over worldly concerns. We should never be discouraged when we take everything to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus already knows our every weakness. He's just waiting for you to come. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, a final word. The Holy Spirit revealed to me there's coming a day upon this very earth that we live on where people will be searching, looking for, and running to Jesus. Something is coming. I repeat, something is coming. Amos, the 8th chapter, verse 11 and 12 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. A famine is coming. Don't get distracted from Jesus now. This is not the time to take your eyes off of Jesus. More than anything, this is the time to draw closer to Jesus than ever before. Return to your first love. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, the 2nd chapter, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That's Revelation 2 verses 2 through 5. As the return of Jesus gets closer, evil and social chaos will get worse before they get better. You have people running around now talking about things are getting back to normal. According to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets will appear and will deceive many. 1 John, the 4th chapter says, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. And that is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. That's 1 John 4, chapter verse 1 through 6. My encouragement to you is to be wise and be careful, my friends. Return to the Lord now. Come closer to Jesus while today is still today. Tomorrow isn't promised. If you're already in Christ, then he is your friend. But even still, we must keep the fire burning in our hearts for him. Do not let nothing steal or take away the love of God in your hearts for him. A famine of the word is coming. Now is the time to love God deeper and to love his word. There will be many false prophets and teachers during this time, deceiving many people, giving out deluded, polluted, and false information to those who don't know what the Bible says because they didn't spend time reading or meditating in God's word. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 says, "You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." So you see, my people, my friends, soon and very soon, many will be running, seeking, and crying out for a word from the Lord. And like the scripture said in Amos, but will not be able to find it. I pray this word encourages you. Blessings to you all. Have a wonderful day or evening wherever you are. In Jesus' name, amen.